Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, text number 30, given on March 1st, 1996, at the Vancouver Temple.
When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, mind becomes agitated. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. Purport. In this verse, it is very nicely explained how our original Krishna consciousness becomes polluted and we gradually become almost completely forgetful of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse, it is recommended that we should always keep in touch with the devotional service of the Lord so that the blazing fire of devotional service can gradually burn into ashes material desires and we can become liberated from the repetition of birth and death. This is also how we can indirectly keep our staunch faith in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the mind is allowed to think of sense gratification continuously, it becomes the cause of our material bondage. If our mind is simply filled with sense gratification, even though we want Krishna consciousness, by continuous practice, we cannot forget the subject matter of sense gratification. If one takes up the sannyas order of life, but is not able to control the mind, he will think of objects of sense gratification, namely family, society, expensive house, etc. Even though he goes to the Himalayas or the forest, his mind will continue thinking of the objects of sense gratification. In this way, gradually one's intelligence will be affected. When intelligence is affected, one loses his original taste for Krishna consciousness. The example given here is very appropriate. If a big lake is covered all around by long kusha grasses, just like columns, the waters dry up. Similarly, when the big columns of material desire increase, the clear water of Krishna consciousness is dried up. Therefore, these columns of kusha grass should be cut or thrown away from the very beginning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that if from the very beginning we do not take care of unwanted grass in the paddy fields, the fertilizing agents or water will be used by them, and the paddy plants will dry up. The material desire for sense enjoyment is the cause of our fall down in this material world, and thus we suffer the threefold miseries and continuous birth, death, old age, and disease. However, if we turn our desires toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord, our desires become purified. We cannot kill desires. We have to purify them of different designations. If we constantly think of being a member of a particular nation, society, or family, and continuously think about them, we become very strongly entangled in the conditioned life of birth and death. But if our desires are applied to the service of the Lord, they become purified, and thus we become immediately freed from material contamination. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tattaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Atastakadi Sthari. These are the continuing instructions of the four Kumaras to Pitti Maharaj. And here they're describing an unfortunate situation. And a metaphor is given to make it very clear. Prabhupada, he begins his purport by referring to a fortunate situation that was described in a previous verse with a different metaphor. This was the metaphor of fire burning wood. And fire comes out of wood and then it destroys the wood itself, consumes the wood. So in that previous verse, it's just back a few to text 26, the Kumaras say that devotional service, attachment to Krishna, works like a fire to burn the panchatmakam, the five things. And Prabhupada says these five can be taken in two ways. It can mean the five material elements or entanglement in the body of five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, so on. Or it can mean that by practicing Krishna consciousness, the five material undesirable characteristics are burnt up, and they are ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. So, Krishna consciousness is a vigorous, a burning agent, or sometimes we say cleansing agent, to destroy and throw off all these things that are causing us suffering and are against our spiritual life. But the truth is that it's not that we're always successful. Of course, most people, they're not even attempting Krishna consciousness. But even those who are practicing, we may not always experience just the positive side, that all our material attachments are being burned away. So if you're an intelligent person, you have to look at the good side of things, but not just the good side, you have to look at the bad side. Prabhupada points that out in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when the sizing up of the armies was taking place. So Duryodhana is talking to his military commander, and he's very confident about the soldiers on his side. But he doesn't just want to be told how, yeah, we're so great, and we have such powerful fighters, and we've got this and we've got that. But he wants to know, well, what does the enemy have? After all, there is an opposing army, and that must have something going for them. So tell me the bad news too, in terms of danger. And commenting on that, Prabhupada said that this is an intelligent person has to see the bright and the dark in order to make realistic intelligence advancement for the light. We know what we want. We want the victory of our Krishna consciousness. But we have to know the places where the enemy has strongholds and so on. And what is the enemy? So here is a picture of what we don't want to happen. So Prabhupada uses the phrase original Krishna consciousness, how original Krishna consciousness becomes lost. Now, original Krishna consciousness, that can mean our eternal state, a state which now, in our conditioned life, we have forgotten. It can mean our rasa with Krishna, that completely blissful nature of existence, no pains, no fears, and so on. That's our original nature. So, in one sense, we have no experience of it, no memory of it. But you can also take original Krishna consciousness in another way, sort of a pragmatic approach, to say that we have practiced Krishna consciousness, those who are practicing devotees. At least this may happen, like this, that a person may practice Krishna consciousness and get a taste of what it's supposed to be. And he practices nicely. He follows the rules and regulations, and his vision is clear, and is not meditating on sense gratification. But then, gradually, you lose that. And So we see that often happens to devotees, practicing devotees. They come to Krishna consciousness, they practice for a while, they're very enthusiastic, and then as time goes by, they lose that freshness or that taste. So their original Krishna consciousness, which they even experienced in this lifetime, is now lost to them. So this is a very sharp verse. When I saw this verse today, I thought, oh, I know this one. It's one that I often remember, and particularly because the example is such a graphic one that I like to give. So it definitely describes what goes wrong and how to prevent it. So again, going over the example, is that there's a body of water, and around it there are these big, I guess almost like bamboos. We call it grass, but grass so thick that it's like, they're called columns. So very thick weeds or columns growing around the edge of a lake. So they draw the water from the lake, and they're so greedy, and there's so many of them, and they're so big, that they draw, and there's no water left in the lake. So in the same way, the lake is your original Krishna consciousness, and you want to have it nice and filled up and fresh and so on. But you've got this other force working. These columns are sucking the water from it. So the example is, these columns are your meditation upon sense gratification, your activities carrying out of sense gratification also, but even just your meditation. The two things, they really can't, they don't grow together. Of course, until we're pure, there'll be some of one and some of the other. But ultimately, they don't go together, they work against each other. If you have a program in your mind that I will do both, then that's wrong, it won't work. We may have to make a compromise that, well, after all, I have some material tendencies, so I have some material responsibilities, so I can't only think of Krishna constantly. I have to think about some other things, but I'm going to try to reduce it. I'll certainly do it within the rules and regulations. That's one way to go about it. And even that has to be improved toward the end of life. But if your program is deliberately to think of sense gratification, but still we say you have the intention of being a devotee, this verse is saying it won't work. And I thought one of the most striking sentences in the whole purport, it says, if our mind is simply filled with sense gratification, even though we want Krishna consciousness, by continuous practice we cannot forget the subject matter of sense gratification. So there comes a point where, this is karma, where you've already invested so much of your thinking and feeling of sense gratification, that if you go against that, you have a sincere feeling, no, I want to be a devotee. I don't want to commit sinful activities. You have a good intention. It's not good enough. There's a saying in English, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. It means you may have good intentions, but at a certain point they don't do you any good. So what does it matter that you want to be a devotee? Your mind is filled with so much sense gratification that your intention is defeated by all this accumulated by all this sucking of the columns. So you turn to your Krishna consciousness. We all sort of do this, I guess, to some degree. We sometimes drift away from Krishna consciousness, and then we come back. And we drift away again and say, no, I don't want that. Our conscience works. I want to be Krishna conscious. We come back. And if we're fortunate, we always have some strength to come back. A good intention saves us and we come back. So the lake and the columns. So at one point, You want to return to the lake, but there's nothing left. Everything has been sucked away by the material desires. So it's too late, or all you're made up. Of course, you still are a spirit soul. We're always a spirit soul. But in terms of being able to act in Krishna consciousness and save ourselves, he says here, even if you want to, you can't. You can't remember Krishna. You can't chant Hare Krishna. You can't get the taste of Krishna consciousness. So we wonder, this verse explains what's going on. If you think, gee, I don't have any more taste for chanting Hare Krishna. I chant, but I don't know, I just don't have any taste for the holy names. Or I don't have any taste for reading the books. I don't have a taste for preaching. Why? What's happened? And can I get it back? I can't seem to get it back. So this is describing what's happened. We have been thinking and thinking and thinking about material designations, thinking of ourselves in connection with different material designations, and trying to enjoy and trying to be happy by that kind of identity and consciousness. And it has taken hold and it has become our reality, although it's really an illusion. But it's taken hold, and now it's going to take something extraordinary, some really revolution, for us to overcome that. In this particular verse, it doesn't tell you what it will take for us to remember Krishna again. This verse just tells us how you lose it. So I'll read it again and then see if we can make some more points. When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. So, if you read too many books other than Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other books by Prabhupada, then meditating on the other kind of books, when you turn back to Prabhupada's books, your taste will be gone because it's been sucked up by the other. Or whatever it is. People, non-devotee people instead of devotee people. Material worries, material sense gratification. It just works like that. It's a very stark either-or description. Either think of Krishna and serve Krishna, or sense gratification. So we may think, well, then what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be live extremely austere and have nothing to do with the material world at all in order to be successful? And do I have to restrict my eating very extremely? Do I have to restrict live in a cave or something so I don't see all the glitter of the material world? Because you live, especially in the West, and you see all this glitter of cars and all things for enjoyment. So if they're not good for me, should I stay away from them by some extreme activity? And what do I do with all these different thoughts? I think about my children or things like that. How am I supposed to avoid it? So Prabhupada says here, we cannot kill desires. Therefore, he's not saying that you have to meditate alone in that sort of way to control the mind that it never has any feeling of love for anybody else in order for it to love Krishna and so on. And that you never think of anything that you'd like to do. Because if I think of something I like, it must be sense gratification. And then I won't be able to be a devotee. So he's saying, you can't kill your desires. That's actually that what I just described, the austere attempt. That's actually the program of some meditation, like Buddhist. Although people don't really practice it nowadays. They talk about Buddhism, but they don't practice it. But the goal of Buddhist and Mayavadi meditation is to kill desire, to kill ego, to enter this state of non-existence, and then you won't be consumed by sense gratification. Buddha says that the world is full of suffering. And that doctrine is also within Krishna consciousness. And then he says, what is the cause of this suffering? Desire. That's also a doctrine within Krishna consciousness. Suffering is due to desire. So then, what should we do? Stop desire. Become desireless. But in Krishna consciousness, we said, you can't become desireless, but you change the nature of your desire and now become active in desiring and willing and doing things in Krishna consciousness. And then the lake will be filled with water of tasting Krishna consciousness, and it will not be sucked dry by the material desires. So this is a very important point, that you can't kill desires, but purify them of different designations. If we constantly think of being a member of a particular nation or family, and we think about them, then we'll be conditioned in material life. But if you apply your desires to the service of the Lord, so you think, how can I beautify the temple? How am I going to serve Radha Madan Mohan? And in my own service, maybe you're thinking, I have to get some facility for my service, or I have to work at my service. I'm very eager to do it. Here, we're all seated at the Bhagavatam class, and ideally we should be very attentive and taking in every day the instructions of the Bhagavatam purport, so it will help form our day. You can meditate on what's being taught today, and it's a continuous thing. Every day we read the Bhagavatam. So this is 1 hour in the day, but then perhaps in the back of our mind, even while we're hearing the instructions of the day, we're thinking of our service, that when the class is over, I'll do this service, I'll do that service. Actually, you can connect them, that what's being taught in the class, you can also think, yes, this is true, what the Kumaras are saying, and I experience it in my own life, and today I'm going to apply it in such and such specific way. Each of us hears a little differently, because we're all individuals, but we can all be hearing in a Krishna conscious way, and thinking about what we're going to do today to engage our desires in the service of Krishna. So we're not voidists. We're not thinking, how can I stop all my desires? But we should be full of desire, but it should be connected to Srimad Bhagavatam and to taste of Krishna consciousness. And then we don't have to be afraid of desires, but we should be very careful that we don't think a lot about sense gratification instead of Krishna consciousness. And it does come down to an either-or decision that we always have to make. Prabhupada said, you can test yourself. You just ask, is this what I'm doing, or is this what I'm thinking? Is this for me, just for sense gratification, or is this for Krishna? Ask yourself that question. And that can be your test of whether you're Krishna conscious. And if you see that you're not thinking of something to do for Krishna conscious, then why don't you correct it? Why don't you? Don't do something that's not Krishna conscious, but change it so that it is not the cause of your destruction. All right, I think I can stop here for answering any questions. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah. You're saying one way to go is to try to lessen our material desires and increase our... Yeah, well, that's the Varnashram Dharma is like that, that when one is about 20, 25 years old, he enters householder life, which is a time of increasing desires. Material desires. It's the two paths, prakriti and nibriti marg. So The Prakriti Marga is where you increase, and Nivritti is where you decrease. So in householder life, you have children, you get a house, and you're trying to make money. So although you do it within Krishna consciousness, I don't want to make a stereotype out of Grihastha life, but this is Varnashram concept, that it is a time when material desires can expand, because a man or a woman has these desires. Rather than stop them completely, you regulate them and connect them to Krishna. But then, even though they were bona fide, then you start lessening them. Not so much interested in the children anymore, not so much interested in the business anymore, and not interested in sex life at all. So diminishing. So that's what I was thinking of when I said that realistically we have material desires, and so noticing that we have them, we should try to not let them increase. We all have some weakness, perhaps. You may like to eat sweets, so you may like to be attached, very attached to your children or something like that. So be aware of it, and just don't try to reduce it in a way that is not artificial, but is genuine. And so then at 50, 55 years old, one leaves family life. And but in itself, that's not the whole program. There has to be a steady increase of Krishna consciousness at all times. Because who knows when we're going to die, and fulfill that program of gradually tailing off. We better tail off as soon as we can. Like Maharaj Pritchett, he was told he had only 7 days to live. So he gave up all things that would have connected him to the world, like his being the king and all his dress, his power of office, his residence, and just became like a naked mendicant, because I get rid of all those attachments as soon as possible. First, to again state the thrust of this, what I like about this verse is it's not sentimental. Somebody may have a sentimental idea of Krishna consciousness, but this verse is like telling us some tough truths, some hard truths, that you may say, oh, I want to be a devotee, I want to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, I love Krishna. But the fact is, you can reach a state where you're just too covered up, and even though you say you want Krishna consciousness, you can't have it, because you've invested too much love for matter. So yes, we need help, and so the help is, what does Prabhupada say, that the daivihi esa gunamayi umaya dratyaya, the gunas are like ropes that tie us up. So if you're tied up and you want help, it has to be from a person who's not tied up. So we get help from those who are more detached, or who are completely detached, who don't think in terms of material designation, who aren't filled with thoughts of sense gratification, whose lake of Krishna consciousness is not sucked dry, find those persons and associate with them, and then you'll see that the taste of Krishna consciousness is real, and that will encourage you to revive yours. So that's one of the primary things. And then, even if you don't, even if you are covered up, don't give up the regular practice of sadhana. For example, the chanting of Hare Krishna. It should always be done. And go on chanting, go on chanting. It has its own potency, even when chanted by a person who is covered up. So by chanting and chanting, the dry person can revive his Krishna consciousness. Krishna's mercy will come to him again. That's acting in by sadhana bhakti and praying for Krishna's mercy. Krishna, please help me. Associate with the devotee and practice Krishna consciousness, even if you don't have the taste. Pray for Krishna's mercy. These things can help us. And just take stock of yourself and stop going to those places, stop doing those things that will get you more and more into... You're bad enough already as it is, so don't make it worse. You know, somebody has a bad habit, they watch a lot of television, or they eat food that's not offered to Krishna. Just stop it. Stop increasing it at least. Have better association, and because you're lost already. You're going to get more and more lost before you get completely lost. Stop all those activities of sense gratification that are escalating and escalating. It's good, of course, to have confidential relationships with devotees whom you can confess that I'm in a bad way, you know. I do this and I do that. I really need some help. And by confidential relationship, not that the other devotee has to be always somebody who's extraordinarily above you, but just like-minded friends who do want to be Krishna conscious, they can help each other out. The other devotee can say, yes, I know, I have that weakness also, but this is what I do. I just busted my television so that I can't watch it anymore. So they can they give us encouragement, our friends in Krishna consciousness. But if you go to an undevotee, then they'll just tell you to increase your sense gratification. So yes, we need help. Yeah, when you get like this, that even though you want Krishna conscious by continuous practice of the other, you can't forget the subject of sense gratification. You know how a tune stays in your mind if you hear some song? So maybe you hear some non-devotee song, and then whether you like it or not, if you yourself start humming it and singing it a few times, in the morning that tune will be on your mind, whether you like it or not. Or if you see some film, that will be in your mind. So these are impressions. That's what's being made out. That's the point that's being made. Whether you want something else or not, these are the impressions you're going to have to live with. Because you took them in, and 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 now your original Krishna consciousness is lost. So this will be described some more. Well, that may not be that you do have to stay there, you know. If it's so bad, then why do I have... Okay, but say that I say, this is bad for me, but I have to stay here. Just like the city, the air is not good, we get polluted, but I have to stay here. But then, within that situation, you have to take precautions. So there are precautions you can take. Like the whole example of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is polluted, and an example is in the rainy season you can't stop the rain, but you can have an umbrella and this and that. So if you have to stay in an environment that's not good, you can still take a lot of precautions as best you can. See, I've seen when I visited Tokyo, a very polluted city, And a lot of people, they wear these face masks to try to counteract it. So just taking it as a crude example, that face mask, it may actually, say, help a person. So he had to stay in the city, but he did something. So there's, you don't have to expose yourself to the worst. You can stay out of the worst. You may live in Vancouver, but you don't have to go to all the night spots in Vancouver and go to where contamination is the worst and do everything. Rather, you can live, as Prabhupada said, not in Vancouver or not in Los Angeles, but be Krishna conscious. And you won't be in that nasty environment or polluted by it. Yeah, that's a good point. Devotees underestimate the power of Maya. Maya is so powerful, keeping all the countless living entities in control. But she's not someone to flirt with or to play with. You should have great respect for Maya. And that respect should be shown by keeping our distance. And Maya is so prominent. Yeah, we actually do have to do some quite deliberate things to avoid getting contaminated. You don't just casually walk around, but you have to do some very deliberate precautionary activities to save yourself from getting the impressions of blasphemy against devotees, atheism, sex attraction, all these things are coming at us. And we just can't think just because I have a bead bag in my hand, it's not going to affect me. But you have to be like an athlete or a warrior, a very alert person, and be filled up with Krishna consciousness. And to be a preacher is a good way, because then you're like, you're actually combating it and trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. The preacher, Prabhupada, was asked by a devotee that by book distributor, when we touch people, I've heard that we get the karma from them and we're getting contaminated. How can we stop them being contaminated? Prabhupada said, you will be immune. Krishna will give you immunity if you preach on his behalf. You have to be doing such a sacred task and precautionary at it that you won't be affected by the powerful mind. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.